If you think back just a little over a month ago to about late June, you'll probably remember that feeling of tension in the air as the conflict between Israel and Iran escalated. And you might also remember that brief moment of hope that the world felt when a ceasefire was announced, only to see that hope shattered almost immediately as that agreement collapsed. Now, events like that can be unsettling, but for us as God's people, they should not be a source of fear. Instead, they should be a powerful call to sharpen our spiritual focus. Let's look at this together, brethren. If you have your Bibles, our first stop this afternoon will be Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And as you're turning there, let's picture the scene. Jesus and his disciples have left the bustling temple courts below. They've crossed the Kidron Valley and have made their way up the quiet slopes of the Mount of Olives. From this vantage point, they have a breathtaking panoramic view of Jerusalem, with the magnificent temple standing proud and golden in the afternoon light. The disciples, well, they're unsettled. Jesus had just told them that this incredible structure, the very center of their world, would be utterly destroyed. So they come to him privately, away from the crowds, with the most pressing questions on their minds. They ask in verse 3, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Now he then goes on and gives them a list of signs. But I want to focus today on a specific warning he gave about the state of our world, one that speaks directly to the instability we just discussed. And let's read it here in Matthew 24, verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. He says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, let's think about the specific words that Jesus uses here. Because notice, he didn't just say wars. He didn't say you will hear of wars, but he very specifically included rumors of wars. Now, what is a rumor of war in our modern world? Well, it's the constant tension. It's that 24-hour news alerts that pop up on our phones. It's the back-and-forth threats between nations. It's the anxiety of a ceasefire being announced one moment and the fear of it collapsing the next. That psychological strain, that constant uncertainty, that is what a world filled with rumors of wars feels like. But brethren, the most incredible part of this verse isn't the prediction. It's the command that comes right after it. Because Jesus didn't just give a prophecy here. He gave a direct instruction to his people. He said, "See that you are not troubled. See that you are not troubled." And that message is so clear. God doesn't want his people to be consumed by fear when we see these things happening. We don't have to live in a state of constant worry. Prophecy is not given to us to be a source of fear, but a source of faith and understanding. So we see that Jesus didn't just give a prophecy here. He also gave a command. See that you are not troubled. And that command is for us today. So then, how do we do that? How do we obey this command? And how do we live with confidence and peace in a world that can be filled with chaos? Well, today we're going to explore three powerful biblical ways to help us not be troubled in a troubled world. Now, first, and most fundamentally, we anchor our hope in the gospel of the kingdom. We anchor our hope in the gospel of the kingdom, that good news, brethren, that we all hold so dear. It's not just about a distant future, but it's the very lens through which we find peace and meaning in the chaos of today. Now, we know that this gospel announces a real, literal, world-ruling government coming to this earth with Jesus Christ as its king. But, brethren, and this is so crucial for us today, the gospel of the kingdom is not just a someday hope that we passively wait for. It's a reality that is meant to fundamentally change how we live right now. The Apostle James tells us that we, the church, have been brought forth by God to be a kind of first fruits of his creation. And think about what that means. Just as the first fruits of a harvest are a tangible promise of the much greater harvest to come, we are called to be a living, breathing promise of the righteousness and peace that will one day fill the entire world. And this brings us to our calling. As the Apostle Paul wrote, our true citizenship is in heaven, and we are Christ's ambassadors. So we can think of the church then as an embassy for the kingdom of God, or of the kingdom of God. Now, an embassy is a small piece of its home country's territory operating in a foreign land. And inside the walls of that embassy, the laws and the customs of the home country are what's observed. It is a beacon of that country's values. And brethren, that's our job. We are to be a beacon of the values of the coming kingdom of God right here in the midst of a chaotic world. And when we are actively seeking that kingdom and living by its principles now, the wars and the rumors of wars of this present age, well, they begin to just lose their power over our hearts and our minds. But brethren, to live as a faithful ambassador in a chaotic and often hostile world requires more than just understanding our mission. It requires a deep personal trust in the King who sent us, a trust that he is not just in control of the distant future, but is actively watching over us today. And that brings us to our second point. We rest in God's personal care and sovereignty. We rest in God's personal care and sovereignty. You know, brethren, it is easy at times to feel small and helpless when we watch the news. But Jesus Christ, he taught a very different reality. For example, in Matthew 10, he reminds us that God has numbered the very hairs on our heads, and that we are of more value than many sparrows. His sovereignty, it's not just cosmic, it's personal. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. Now, many scholars believe that this psalm was written at a moment of extreme national crisis for ancient Judah, possibly when the massive Assyrian army was surrounding Jerusalem, threatening its complete destruction. So this psalm was not born in peaceful times, but in the midst of a crisis that threatened the very survival of the nation. And let's read together what the psalmist declares here, brethren, starting in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 to 3. Here is Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. So we see here, brethren, a declaration of faith in the middle of chaos. And what is God's command? Well, look at it here in verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus' command on the Mount of Olives to not be troubled is a direct echo of this command right here in Psalm 46 to be still. Both are calls to consciously and actively place our trust in God's power over human events. Being still means we consciously rest in the knowledge that our lives are held securely by our Father. So we rest in God's personal care. But our faith, well, it's not passive. It's an active faith. We have an active faith. And that brings us to our third and final point. We practice active faith through prayer and service. We practice active faith through prayer and service. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read a few verses here. And here in Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul gives us one of the most practical instructions for dealing with anxiety. Let's read this, brethren, verses 6 to 7, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So, brethren, when we bring our worries and our anxieties to God in prayer, He gives us something far greater in return, His peace that goes far beyond any human understanding. But that peace is not meant to be hoarded. It's not something we just hold on to. It's meant to empower us for service. The antidote to the anxiety of feeling helpless is to turn our focus outward. And what does that look like? Well, it might be the phone call or a text to a brother or sister who's struggling. It might be preparing a meal for a family going through a trial. But it can also be simpler. It means offering a listening ear to a brother at church or a sister at church who is wrestling with anxiety. It means being a source of steadfast faith within your own family or circle of friends. It means choosing to share an encouraging scripture with a friend instead of just forwarding another fearful headline. When we are busy serving the needs of others, especially our brethren, we have less time then to be consumed by the chaos of this world. So, brethren, how do we live untroubled in a very troubled world? Well, first, we look forward, anchoring our hope in the coming kingdom of God. Second, we look up, resting in God's absolute and personal sovereignty. And third, we look outward, practicing active faith through prayer and service. The world will continue to have its rumors of wars, but our foundation is not in this world. And it's so important, brethren, that we remember that prophecy is given to us not to be a source of fear, but as a source of faith and understanding. So let's all be watchful, but as our King commanded us, let us not be troubled.